Brilliant. Okay. I've just been reading a book recently on restlessness. I don't know how you feel your restlessness is at the moment. Unfortunately, and quite ironically, I'm stuck on chapter 3 because I can't stick with it. I keep wandering off and doing other things. It's way more dense than I thought it would be. But sometimes there's a kind of restlessness to things that Jesus might call us to in the Christian life. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Do you ever feel that? Maybe that's just me. Almost as though the things we're up to for Jesus in the kingdom have perhaps become a kind of added burden rather than things that we get to do. Take one example, evangelism. And Debo was just praying that we would, that, you know, something we naturally shy away from, that we'd be coming along to our summer groups and thinking about it. I'm really excited that we've got the opportunity to think practically about sharing our faith with others over the next couple of weeks. And some of us will naturally be buzzing about that, but if I'm honest, speaking to others about Jesus, it often feels very daunting, doesn't it? It often feels like it's something I kind of have to get through rather than something that I get to do. In fact, I'll be honest with you, my evangelism has been pretty bad over the last couple of months. Something you could pray for me, and I don't know how yours has been. I'm excited about getting into summer groups this year. There's loads of different reasons for that. Indeed, it would be great to chat afterwards about reasons why maybe we feel that when it comes to evangelism. But I reckon one of the reasons we feel this kind of restlessness, perhaps a kind of almost added pressure in the Christian life, is because very simply we've forgotten what our role is in the kingdom and what God's role is. And this evening's passage, I pray, will be a real help to us if we've been kind of recently rewriting job descriptions for us and God. I've picked this passage, this parable, because of the season that we are in or about to head into. We're about to, as I say, head into summer. There'll be opportunity, lots of opportunities in summer to stop certain things, some good things, and that could be tricky for some of us, if we've forgotten our role and God's role in kingdom work. There'll also be opportunities to do more things, some good things. Conversations with our neighbours may open up more regularly, perhaps people are feeling more sociable, we might have the opportunity to chat more to mates about Jesus. And that could be tricky for some of us, if we've forgotten our role and God's role in kingdom work. So in this evening's parable, well, we're shown really clearly who does what in the kingdom. And I think that this parable, in a sense, I pray it has a sort of impact that a reviewer says this book had on them. Okay, this is a book called Surprised by Jesus. I'm going to be reading it with Jen over the summer, and you're very welcome to join us. It's one of our summer reads that you can get stuck into. Michael Bright's on the WhatsApp group, so you're reading it too, are you? Unless you've joined for just to make trouble and then leave. Come and join our WhatsApp group, and then we're gonna discuss this at the end of August. But anyway, one of the reviews here, I think, is like the way this parable has worked on me. The strangest of things, the heartfelt rebuke that brings such encouragement and freedom and joy. Don't know if you've ever experienced that sort of a rebuke that brings encouragement and freedom and joy. This parable is all about, as I say, who does what in the kingdom of God. And that's the effect that it's had on me as I've been looking at it. This is medicine for restless people. For people who feel as though the things God calls them to are just too great, too big. And it's scary. They can't start things. Or for people who think Christian ministry is just so massive and important, they just can't stop things. They can't step back. It's a simple parable with a simple truth, and we're going to spot it very quickly, and then we're going to kind of massage it in a little bit. So I think there's a handout. You can take notes if you want to, just across the page. I think what I kind of wrote down as the point was, while we're doing nothing, God's doing everything. While we're doing nothing, God's doing everything. We're just going to read the parable together again. It's very short, so let's read it together. Verse 26, I'll read it. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now, I said just a moment ago, didn't I, that while we're doing nothing, God's doing everything. That's not quite right, is it? The farmer does something here. Verse 26, he scatters the seed. And we might be thinking, what on earth is Jesus talking about here? What's going on? But we'll know what Jesus is talking about if we've read the kind of other parables that surround this one. Because Jesus is kind of, he's stuck in farming mode at the moment when it comes to the parables he's going for. And he teaches another parable that begins in a similar way at the start of chapter 4. So just look at chapter 4, verse 3. I think it's on the same page. Jesus says this. Chapter 4, verse 3. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And then we kind of hear all these different tales of this sower who kind of throws his seed into different places. And then we're thinking, well, okay, what does he mean there? And if we don't know what Jesus means, well, just look at verse 13 where we get the explanation further down. Jesus says to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. The word. So what's this farmer doing as we kind of track through some more of the farming parables? Well, he's like the sower, isn't he, in this first parable. He scatters the word. He's telling people, if you like, about Jesus. He's sharing God's words. He's sharing the Bible, maybe in a conversation here, or, I don't know, leading a Bible study there, or writing a letter to a friend, or, I don't know, passing a tract to a stranger. The farmer is doing something. He's putting the seed down. He's kind of getting God's word out. But when it comes to the results, when it comes to growth, when it comes to anything that happens next after that, he doesn't contribute at all. In fact, he sleeps. Then he rises. Then he sleeps. And then he rises. And as this happens, growth takes place. What he's planted actually begins to do something, begins to bear fruit. And the farmer is very puzzled, isn't he? You can see that. And where does he say? He said, it grows, and he knows not how. End of verse 27. I guess the farmer's puzzled. You know, he's thinking, well, how on earth has that happened? And I reckon he's probably puzzled because something's going on here that he has had, it's just kind of mysterious. He's had absolutely no contribution to it. It just kind of happens. If he was at every stage in the process doing something, he wouldn't be puzzled, would he? Because he'd be thinking, well, I know what I've done this and I've done that and I've done the other. But that's not what happens. Growth just begins to happen. And so he is puzzled. There's some kind of power at work that he can't explain. And start of verse 26. Where am I going? No, 28. The earth produces by itself. You see that? The earth produces by itself. Now, I know we can kind of speak, scientifically, and we can kind of like stand back and analyze this with, I don't know, our lab glasses on and talk about photosynthesis and all this sort of thing. But even today, there's still this kind of fascination, isn't there? This childlike wonder when it comes to growing something. Maybe we have experienced this in the past, if we've got green fingers. We've planted something in the past, and we went back weeks later, and we'd completely forgotten about it, this thing that we planted. And suddenly there was this beautiful flower. And we're thinking, how? Like, how does that happen? Wow! You know, we threw something out, but the growing kind of happen by itself. As this farmer sleeps, the earth is producing by itself everything. Do you see that as well in this parable? It's not kind of the farmer sows and then he kind of comes back and he then does 50% of the labour and the earth does 50% of the labour. It's, well, again, verse 28, the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, than the full grain in the ear by itself. And the farmer just kind of comes back later and enjoys the harvest. What's Jesus' point? Well, while we're doing nothing, God is doing everything. By his word, through his spirit. Who does what in the kingdom of God? Well, we sow the word. Then as we sleep, God grows his kingdom. Who's in charge of the results when it comes to kingdom growth? God is in charge. Lots of us will know the famous quote from Martin Luther, one of the great reformers way back when. And I think he must have been reading this parable when he said this. He said, we should preach the word, but the results will be left solely to God's good pleasure. He's talking here about opposing the Catholic Church. He says, and just listen, he says, I opposed indulgences and all the papists, but never with force. I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything. I mean, that's basically just an updated version of this parable, isn't it? You know, we could say, from this parable, like the farmer sleeps and God grows the crop. Martin Luther is saying, we drank beer and God grew the crop. He's just substituted it. God's word, I wonder if we believe it. Maybe we've had this experience, actually. We've kind of spoken to somebody about Jesus and we come back, I don't know, years later, and we thought, how on earth did that happen? Perhaps that's our story. God's word can happily work without any human intervention. And this is great news. This is great news. So let's just enjoy this truth. I've got three little applications for us. First of all, this is a remedy for restlessness. I was listening to a podcast the other day. I think it's designed for young pastors, but actually everyone can benefit from it. You can come up and ask me about it afterwards. But anyway, they were talking in this podcast about finding rest for your soul. I wonder if that's something you're after as we head into summer, finding rest for your soul. And one of the big things that came up as they were speaking, unsurprisingly, was the blessing of sleep, God's gift of sleep. And they went to this passage to make the point, because this passage has a lot to say about sleep, doesn't it? Lots of the most significant work in this passage that happens is happening while the farmer's horizontal. Like, if you think you're invincible and God can't work without you, and you know you can't get rest, here's a parable for you. Yes, the farmer has a job to do, but then he's really happy to go away and sleep. He does what he knows is his work, and then he leaves it there. Is that something that we struggle with, I wonder, when it comes to sharing God's word with other people? Do we struggle with a kind of micromanagement when it comes to work in the kingdom of God? Now, don't get me wrong. Like, some of us might not need to hear this particular correction. Okay, I don't know every heart in this room. Some of us might, we might be sluggards. We might need to get out of our bed and stop being bone idle. And we need to remember 2 Peter 1, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, effort. Or Colossians 1, we hear about Paul toiling and struggling with all the energy. Interestingly, God works within him, but there's toil and there's struggle. And some of us might need the opposite correction. You know, often ministry amongst others, the Christian life, it's going to involve sweat and pain. But some of us need the correction this parable gives. It really is okay to share God's word with someone and then in humility, knowing what your job is and what God's job is, rest. We don't have to micromanage in God's kingdom. If you're tempted by that, use the pictures in this parable to feed your soul this summer. Go look at some grass and then take a nap and wake up and see if the grass has disappeared. It won't have done. In fact, God will have kept the world spinning whilst we've been out of it for a while. He'll actually have grown grass, in fact, while we've been sleeping. But we won't quite have seen it because it'd be a very small amount of growth. Anyway, just a few practical scenarios. Perhaps we had that difficult conversation with someone and we had to confront them with hard truths about something. We scattered the word and the conversation didn't end in the place that ideally we'd have liked it to. And the temptation will probably be a kind of restlessness. Perhaps we need to have another conversation straight away afterwards because we haven't spotted change immediately. You know, we need to text that person the very next day, almost like a spiritual stalker. Have you ever done that? We're kind of wandering around. Like, did you hear what I said that last time? Just like, you know, remember what I said to you? Remember those things that I mentioned? We don't have to do that. We've shared the word. We can trust that hidden things will be happening, that the word will be working by itself. We can rest. We suddenly got the opportunity to work or at work or maybe like in the pub afterwards with our colleagues. That's often when the time comes, isn't it? To speak about the gospel a little bit. And we mentioned some key truths about Jesus, and then we kind of got a few different questions, and we tried to answer in the most effective way possible. We kind of went to this part of the Bible or that part of the Bible. We kind of scattered the word. And then as we headed home after the conversation, does this ever happen with you? This is the classic thing that happens with me. All of the better answers started coming into our heads. That's how I should have answered. I went to this part of the Bible. I should have gone to that part of the Bible. But where did I go to this part? But we can rest. Because the point is we've shared something of the Bible with them. And Jesus tells us that the earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Some of us here will be kind of thinking about ministry roles at church that maybe we've kind of got stuck into over the past year. Perhaps we led a small group this last year and that stopped and we're about to head off on holiday and the Protestant guilt is kicking in. You know, can I really take some time out? Yes. The word you fed on together in groups will continue to be at work in you and in others without you being physically present. You can rest. You can be 1,000 miles away. If this sort of kind of restlessness as we go about Christian things is your normal, let the farmer's routine correct you. The parable is a remedy for restlessness. But secondly, this parable is a reason to get praying, isn't it? It's a reason to get praying. If we understand Jesus' words correctly here, it should totally transform our prayer lives. Who is it that changes people and grows people and sustains people and keeps people for glory? God. He is the one who builds his kingdom. Let me spell that out really obviously. It's not us. Yes, God might use means. God always uses means. So often he does. The farmer here is scattering. We're to speak truth in love to one another. We're to declare the mighty deeds of the Lord. But if anything spiritually significant is going to happen, then he is the one who needs to do the job. What a difference this makes to the way we think about any ministry that we do. If any fruit is going to appear in our lives and the lives of others, well, God must be at work. He's the one in charge of kingdom growth. He's responsible for results. This means that if we want to see ourselves in a different place, spiritually speaking, this time next year, maybe us having matured, grown in the Lord Jesus, people being added to our number, people being born again, entering the kingdom in East London, Stratford, we must ask God to do the work that only he can do. I mean, basically, this is all about humility, this parable, isn't it? We can put on programs As we think about September again, perhaps we'll think about certain things that can get done. We can put on programs. We can create lots of opportunities to scatter the word. We can fill our calendars with lots of good things. I think this is one thing that we're very good at in our, if I can use the word, constituency. We're very good at do it, you know, how's church going? Oh, it's great. We're doing this and we're doing that and we're doing the other. And there's so many things going on in the week. But ultimately, we want to see kingdom growth, don't we? We want to see people growing in Christlikeness and people who didn't know Jesus loving Jesus. And so we need to get praying. And this links in with the final application that this parable gives us. A reminder of where the power lies. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. What is it that we put our confidence in when it comes to the growth of the church? Is it actually God, or has it kind of become me a little bit? Have I swapped job descriptions a bit with God? I was really challenged in this area recently by a bishop from Africa. He was speaking on a passage, and funnily enough, he was talking about the importance of prayer. And it got me thinking, just personally, when I come up to preach, is my confidence in the fact that God's word is very powerful, that God will get up to work I have no idea about through the hidden power of his Holy Spirit, and that might even be happening weeks, months, years after our time together? Or is it all kind of my trust in my Bible handling skills and the time I've spent in the passage? Now, those things are important. You know, we want to be trained to kind of teach the word well and that sort of thing. But we can put too much weight on those things. And if we do, that's going to be utterly crippling, because I could always have used my tools in a sharper way. And I could always have spent a bit more time in the passage. This parable is a reminder to us of where the power lies when it comes to spiritual growth. And so it's actually a remedy for the other kind of restlessness that we thought about a moment ago. Not the restlessness that says, I just can't step away from this, but the sort that makes us say, I just can't get started with God's work because it feels so daunting and so big. It's just all too much. That first conversation with that friend who knows nothing about Jesus. We could go through those same examples a moment ago, couldn't we, where we may have experienced a sense of restlessness, but just flip it slightly. So, you know, I can't have that hard chat with that friend because I just don't quite know the exact words to use. Or sharing Jesus with my mate at the pub just seems like they're so way off in their understanding. I just don't know if anything I'll say will be of any use. Or I'm terrified about the idea of maybe stepping up into a certain role in ministry this year. It just seems so big. And it's just good to think, like, is my trust in me as I play those situations out in my mind, kind of catastrophizing as I do, or is my trust in God as the word gets scattered, as the word goes out? God is the one who is responsible for the growth then. That is it's a liberating thing, isn't it? To know that our job is simply to scatter the seed and God is in charge of the results. I don't know about you, but I think that frees us up, doesn't it? The pressure's off. Maybe some of us have kind of been playing God in this way, and we need to give up and let God get on with what only he can do. Bring spiritual change to people and grow people and save people. So there are kind of three applications that we can think about. I'm going to encourage us to do so in a minute. But as we close, this summer, as lots of us start thinking about our holidays and stop some good things for a bit and start some good things for a bit, let's listen again to the job descriptions Jesus wrote for our work and for God's work when it comes to kingdom growth. And then let's get going with what we get to do with him. Why don't I pray? And then I think it would be good for us to just turn in twos and talk about what we've heard and some of the encouragements and some of the ways that it's helped us. Let me pray. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Father, we thank you so much for what Jesus has taught us this evening through this parable. And Father, we pray that you would help us to believe this. And we pray that you might build your kingdom here in Stratford, that many would mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, that many would come to saving faith. Father, do what only you can do. And Father, please grow our humility as we seek to serve you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.